Well, if you've got your Bible with you tonight, I want to start in Romans chapter 5. I want to talk tonight about the double cure. The double cure. You know, Brother Hagin taught us that, and he had learned this from others as he quoted, he said, always spend time, always feed your faith and spend time studying the word concerning faith, but then also divine healing and health. Because either you or someone you know will need it. Amen. And in looking at the subject and the principles of divine healing, although, you know, they have not, it's not always explicitly stated, throughout the scriptures, healing has always been a part of who God is and what God does. Healing is part of his nature. And he's a healing God because sickness and disease is not of God. Let me say that again. Sickness and disease is not of God. The entrance of sickness and death came through man's sin. There was the entrance of it. And when we're going to see tonight as we look at several scriptures, that when Jesus, through his redemptive act, dealt with and did away with the sin problem, he also covered the sickness and disease issue. Now, we live in this fallen world. I'm not just talking about world system. I'm talking about in this earth. You realize in Genesis 3, the Bible tells us that the earth is cursed. It's under the curse of sin. Romans chapter 8 tells us that the whole earth is groaning, waiting for its redemption. You know, and Satan being the, you know, the prince of the power there, he is the little g god of this world. Man handed his authority over to him. And as he is the little, as we said, the god of this world, sickness and disease is still in this world. Jesus didn't do away, listen to me, with sickness and disease any more than he did away with the ability to sin. You can still sin if you want to. Just because Jesus did away with the sin problem, when we come to him, we're born again, the sin nature is done away with in us, right? We're no longer sinners. We're the righteousness of God in Christ. We're new creatures, glory to God. But we still have this same body. And it is still, this body is mortal. It's subject to death. Now, death is the final enemy that's going to be placed under the feet of Jesus. And when that's done, then it's over. I mean, we're into eternity. There's no more Satan. There's no more enemy whatsoever. But that doesn't mean then any more than you and I have to live under the bondage of sin. Do we have to live under the bondage of sickness and disease? We have been. If think about this. If you cut off the root of a plant, the fruit can't grow. Sickness and disease is the fruit of sin. And if the sin problem has been cut off, if you're redeemed from sin, then you're redeemed from the fruit of sin. Amen? And so let's look at that tonight. This isn't necessarily for some folks. It might be a new thing to think about. For some others, it's not. But, you know, constantly reminding ourselves of these things. Okay? Now, I encourage you, if you're watching us there online, get your Bible. Get your notebook. Don't believe it because I say it. See it in the Word of God, right? Don't go out there and say, well, Brother Tad said, that won't get you anything. Don't be like the seven sons of Sceva who tried to cast out devils by the name of Jesus whom Paul preached. You'll end up naked. Like them. Hopefully not, but you know. All right, Romans 5 verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So see, notice, because of sin, death entered in. Well, sickness is part of the death cycle. So if that came in through that, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We see the entrance of sickness, disease, and death into the world through that original sin of Adam, and it's passed to us because we have sinned. All right? But as we said, if in Scripture, if we can see that the sin problem has been done away with, we're also going to see that when God dealt with it, he did a double cure, if you will. Forgiveness and remission of sin, as well as divine healing, is evidence. So let's look at a few scriptures. Let's go back in the Old Testament, first of all, Exodus chapter 15. Now, some folks, you know, that haven't studied the Bible and haven't had the opportunity, and, you know, might be young in the things of God and that, they think that healing came with Jesus. But God has always been a healer. Healing has always been God's will. Health and healing. Here in Exodus chapter 15, look at verse 23. We'll start there. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, which amazingly means bitter. All right. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast it into the water, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them and said, "If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which were brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Jehovah Rapha right there. The Lord that healeth thee. Notice that. Now, he's talking to them about obeying him and doing that. We enter into that by being in the family. We've accepted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We're walking up, and when we're in that, healing belongs to us. I am the Lord that heals thee. Look at Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. But notice there, when the waters were healed, they could be healed. They could be well. Healing was made available there. Throughout the scriptures, God is shown, Jesus, God has shown as a healer. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. And as they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is any water, and our soul loathes this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he takes away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. Let me stop here for a moment. Now, in this, you realize God's hand of protection was on them. When they sinned against God, God removed his hand of protection, and what was already there in the wilderness attacked them. How many of you know, I'm like I'm saying, sickness and disease is in the world. I mean, we ought to be painfully aware of that right now. Amen. But notice what, now look at verse 8. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now, why were they in that condition? Because of what? They sinned against God. But notice God provided healing for them. Healing was part of the forgiveness process. Now, notice, in order to receive that, though, they had to look on the brass pole. They had to look at that serpent. It's interesting, in John 3, Jesus quotes this and says, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whoever looks upon him shall receive everlasting life. Whoever believes in him." All right. Psalm 103. Now, there's a whole lot of other scriptures we're just running right by that we could use in this, but we don't have all night to do this. All right. But we want to look at this. Psalm 103 really starts getting into this, pairing up and stating very plainly that forgiveness of sin and healing go together. And in the mind of God, they're not separated. In fact, the use of the term saved in the New Testament and the original language that's used, the word that's used, you know, and I'm not a Greek scholar and I don't speak Greek, don't need to speak Greek. But sometimes you understand there are linguistic gaps, language gaps. All right? I mean, in my lifetime, 60 years of my life, words have changed meaning in the way they're used. So go back 2,000 years ago when the New Testament was written and the language was written in, and those words, even the English words, have changed meaning from that were translated, you know, 1,500 years after that in English. They've changed meaning. But the word saved in the New Testament doesn't mean just born again. It means saved, healed, delivered, you know, preserved, kept safe. All of those things. All right? Psalm 103, look at verse 3. Who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. Let me ask you a question. Is it hard for God to forgive all your iniquities and sin? Therefore, it's not hard for him to heal all your diseases either. Same God. We're going to see eventually here that at the same time, the same body, at the same place that the sin issue was dealt with, the healing issue was dealt with. Because here again, if you cut the root, the fruit can't grow. Amen. Now, because you know, we're in this world and the world is, you know, you know, there's, I don't care. I mean, I'm not, you know, going against anything. I'm not trying to make a political statement here. But be honest with you, I don't care how many masks you wear. There is viruses floating around everywhere. It's in the world. They're everywhere. I mean, they're in the dirt. They're in everything. Okay, so we need to get to where we immediately, but first, actually, you know, we'll see it. We've got to start while we're feeling good, going on the attack, not waiting till we're attacked to go on the defense. You know, I always liked offensive. I always like to watch teams that are offensive and minded. They can play defense, but they're offensive. You're going to have to outscore us to beat us. Because we're going to score on you. We're going to be that way with the devil. You're going to have to do a whole lot. You can't beat me. Right? All right, look at Isaiah 53. I'm going to get serious now. Getting in serious at this. The closer we get to the Messiah, the closer we get to Jesus. Here, Isaiah looking forward to the cross, right? Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. I want you to notice there, when he was stricken, when he was afflicted, the wounds that he took were for our transgressions, not his. He was bruised for our iniquities, not his. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. That's freedom from depression and oppression. And with his stripes, we were healed. He says, we are healed. Notice at the same time, all right. Now, in thinking about that, we're a little ahead of ourselves, but just thinking about that, how many times has Jesus gone to the cross? Once. How many times did he die? Once. How many times did he was he separated from God? Once. How many times did he raise from the dead? Once. He's not going to do it again. So evidently, in that, he totally paid the price. I think sometimes, you know, even Christians, we should know better. But it's almost like we're waiting for God to send Jesus again to do something about our sickness and disease when he's already cut the root. Now, I hear some people say, well, God, and I understand the statement, God's already done everything he's going to do about your healing. And you tell that to some people, they're like, he's going to leave me like this? That's not what that means. He's still the healer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Healing is still the children's bread. How many children of God do we have in here tonight? Healing belongs to you. All right, look at James chapter 5. This double cure, if you will, at the same time that he took care of the sin situation, he took care of the healing and health situation. Here's James in verse 14, James 5, verse 14. He asked the question, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I want to stop you right there. Now, I understand, you know, people especially, you know, if you go back 40 years ago, I know some of you are like, 40 years, man, you're the Ancient of Days. I'm not, but I know him. But you go back some 40 years ago and even further than that, in the early, what really were the early days of Raymond, the early days of faith, of even though Brother Hagin taught it all these years, but when people just really grabbed a hold of it and, you know, started thinking about watching what they said because, you know, you can have what you say, then you would never hear anybody, and if anybody did say, well, I'm sick, I mean, people just jumped all over. Okay? I understand you don't want to make that your confession. But he said there, is any sick among you? How could he ask that question? If I can't say I'm sick, how can I ever answer that? All right? Now, don't stay there. All right? You know, you say, well, I don't feel good, but geez, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Don't stay there, but I want you to see there. So, you know, quit putting condemnation on people. Because how could they ever answer that question? If they couldn't, is any sick among you? All right. That's just a thought as we're passing here. Verse 15. He said, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Now notice this. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. At the same time that the Lord's raising them up from their sickness, he's forgiven them of any sin that they have. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Some of you know the Amplified says, makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. I like that. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2. This is probably the crowning scripture, if you will, of this double cure principle, where forgiveness and remission of sin, as well as divine healing, is forever linked together throughout the scriptures and with God. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Who his own self, now he's speaking about Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Again, let's answer this question. Is forgiveness of sin available? Well, then healing's available also. And not at a lesser level. Well, I'd rather be forgiven of my sins than healed. You don't have to make that distinction. You never have to settle. Because with God and what Jesus did, it all happened at the same time with the same body. What body bore the stripes? The same one that bore the sin. Right? So it's not an either or. It's an all-inclusive package. You know, don't be like the guy who saved up enough money back in the day when you had to travel by boat that he finally saved up enough money to buy a ticket on the boat to travel to the United States. He was going to immigrate to the United States. He bought a ticket, you know, and he got in his little cabin that he was able to afford, and he brought a little bit of food with him, and he never would go down to the restaurant and eat because he couldn't afford it. He didn't have any more money. He barely had enough just to get in and immigrate into the country. And one day he was standing outside looking in as they're partaking of these wondrous meals, looking in there. And captain's crew said, "Well, sir, what are you doing?" He said, "Well," he said, I can't afford. I can't go on in there and eat. I didn't have enough money for that." And he goes, sir, didn't you know that all of that food was included in the price of the ticket? He'd been eating cheese and crackers when he could have been eating filet mignon, lobster, shrimp. But he didn't know it. Know your rights. Know your inheritance. And don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let tradition talk you out of it. Don't let anything in the world talk you out of what the Word of God says belongs to you. Amen. Now, the Bible does say in Hebrews that it is appointed unto man once to die. That doesn't mean that there's a time set by God that you're going to die. But this body's not going to live forever. But not everybody is going to die, because if Jesus comes back, the Bible says we shall all be changed. Right? 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus answered the question. Look at Luke 5. Look at this incident with what Jesus said. And boy, they didn't like it when he said it. They were not happy with him, with what he said here in Luke chapter 5. We'll start in verse 17. But this is Jesus answering the question. What's it easier to do, forgive sin or heal from disease? That's what Jesus asked them. Look at this. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Who? These Pharisees, these doctors of the law. Why was the power of the Lord present? Because Jesus was there. And behold, men brought in a bed. Now, Mark chapter 2, verse 3 tells us, said four men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy. In other words, he's paralyzed. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with its couch into the midst before Jesus. How many of you have been watching any of The Chosen? What a great scene this is in that show. If you haven't watched it, please watch it. Amen. When's season 3 coming out? Hopefully pretty soon. Because I'm ready. Stop. Whoa, we can't stop. We've got to keep going here. Anyway. And when they could not find by way they might bring him in because of, they went up on the housetop, let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Now, it's interesting. Here, that it's obvious this man's paralyzed. Why would Jesus say to him, "Your sins are forgiven you"? What does that have to do with healing him? Everything. Because if his sins aren't forgiven, there's no healing available. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said, What reason you in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth or authority upon the earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy or to the paralyzed man, I say unto you, arise, take up your couch, and go into your house. And immediately he rose up. Never forget that the biblical doctrinal foundation for divine healing is redemption. Redemption. Therefore, divine healing and health is available for all who will receive. Just like what we would call salvation is available, the new birth is available. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. And again, that word means more than just born again. God is no respecter of persons. Look at Acts chapter 10. Healing is not reserved for just a special few. It's available to all God's children. And it is available to the world through God's children. In the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. What's that mean? God's not looking at you and saying, well, I don't like them, I'm not going to heal them, and looking at someone else, well, I like them. No, God doesn't operate that way. God responds to faith. Because think of it this, he doesn't have to go, if you come to him for healing, he doesn't have to go create healing. He doesn't have to go pay for it once again because it's already been paid for. Therefore, it's something that you have to receive. I mean, a lot of the church world has an uncashed check of healing that they've never taken to the bank. It's for them. It's for us, but we have to do it God's way, right? Okay, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now people, well, what about that? No, because it's part of redemption. Think of this. The Bible says that it is God's will for everyone to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. In other words, it's God's will that everyone would receive the redemptive work of Christ. And since it's part of redemption, and God will never turn anyone away who comes to them, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll never turn anyone away who calls on him. And since healing is part of our redemption, he will not turn you away from healing. Because it's part of our redemption. 1 Corinthians, look here, chapter 1, verse, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises, how many? All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Well, now sometimes when you go to God, sometimes he says no. He only says no if you go to him and ask something that's not according to his will. look at Ephesians chapter 2. There's so much. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2. Since our healing is part of the redemptive work of Christ, you might hear some people talk about the atoning work, but atonement is not as great as redemption. Atonement was a covering. It's an Old Testament term. Redemption is a total payment of the price. It just doesn't cover. There's cleansing and we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. In the Old Testament, they had atonement by the blood of animals. But Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Because healing was purchased in our redemption, it must be received by grace through faith. Now, when you read this, because this word saved means healed, it means delivered, it means preserved, it means to be kept safe. And we're talking about healing tonight. For by grace, all right, let's think of this. For by grace are you saved from your sin through faith. Now, that's been preached pretty heavy, right? Salvation from our sin, forgiveness of sin. But let me read it this way, because it means exactly the same thing, because the price was paid for redemption the same time. For by grace are you healed through faith. That not of yourself, it's the gift of God. So that takes healing out of the realm of works. It can't be grace and works at the same time. Healing is a gift of God provided through redemption. For by grace are you healed through faith. What's faith? Faith is the avenue that you must come to receive what's been deposited in your account. How many of you have a bank account? Does your bank have rules on who can come get money out of that account? If you don't follow the rules and you get money out of there, you're a thief. All right. Jesus, in the context of healing, we can put it on the, I'm not going to turn over to it, but Mark chapter 9, verse 23, he said, all things are possible to him that believes. Now here's the thing. When we are faithful to believe and act on his promises, he is faithful to perform them. Look at Psalm 57. Are you doing all right? Hallelujah. Now, as I was preparing for this, I'm looking at this, you know, and these are actually, you know, these are things that I've learned a long time. But I'm telling you what, something, as I'm going through this, my spirit's just jumping up and down. I'm on the inside. Something's coming alive. Amen. So there's something that's rising up that says, quit putting up with this. Quit putting up with that. The one thing we have to learn, we have to catch that thought immediately. Immediate catch that thought. Now, you know, I was talking to some people here just recently. We were having this discussion. Some, you know, it seems like something new, we're able to catch it. But those chronic things that we've been dealing with, that you might have been dealing with, that's just a chronic thing that happens to you on a regular basis. If you're not careful, you've made that part of your thinking process, and you're going to have to tear that process down and build a new process. And the way you do that's with the Word of God. Well, it's, you know, it's allergy season, you know, my allergies, and you so you're already planned. But what about my healing? What about my redemption? Change your thought process. Psalm 57, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusts in you. Yes, in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performs all things for me. When I believe him, he performs it. He will do what he has promised. Now, 1 John chapter 5. So we've kind of gone all this time up to this point, building a case that your healing is part of your redemption. It's not a lesser part. It's equal to your eternal salvation. Because it was accomplished at the same time. Now, we're just talking about healing. There's other things that were accomplished at the same time also. We're just as redeemed from poverty and lack as we were from sickness and disease, and we were from sin. That's a whole nother topic. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have desired of him. The confidence. This is the faith. That's confident. That's what faith is. It's confidence. This is the faith that we have. If we ask anything according to his will. I ask you again, is healing part of his will for you? So when I go to God and I just go to him and talk to him, really, I'm not even really praying. I'm just going to him saying, Father, I'm thanking you. I'm thanking you that healing is provided through the redemption. By the blood of Jesus, I'm redeemed. And so by the blood of Jesus, I'm healed. I'm thanking you for my healing. It's your will. I'm thanking you that you cause my body to be well right now in Jesus' name. And we know, we don't guess. Excuse me. We know we have the petitions we've desired of him because we ask according to his will. Let's end with this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just real quick. So I get to this place right here. What is it that you believe? Well, we can find out what we believe by listening to what we've been saying. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Start talking about your redemption, not just from sin, but your redemption from sickness and disease. Start talking it. Start speaking it out. Not necessarily for anybody else to hear. The woman of the issue of blood talked about what she was going to do. No one else was around her. She's saying it. My confession of faith is not for your benefit, it's for mine. Amen. Let's all stand up on our feet. Say this with me. In the name of Jesus, I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I'm redeemed from sin. I'm redeemed from sickness and disease. I'm redeemed from the sin nature. I'm a new creature in Christ. And because I'm a new creature in Christ, healing is provided for me in my physical body. At the same time that Jesus bore my sin, he bore my sickness and disease. Therefore, I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. No sickness, no disease has a right to my body. My body belongs to the Lord, just as my spirit belongs to the Lord. And I will glorify him in my spirit and in my body, which are his. Now thank him for it. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. We give you praise and honor. Now if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've not partaken of your redemption, God has reconciled himself to you on behalf of him and on behalf of the Lord Jesus. I'm asking you tonight, be reconciled to God. The work's already been done. The price has already been paid. Your sin is forgiven. Come to him and receive your reconciliation. Come to him. Receive Jesus. Become a new creature in Christ. Amen. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, or maybe you've kind of walked away from your and you want to rededicate yourself, just a moment here. Come, ladies, come to the ladies. Men, come over to the men. Or if you want them to pray with you concerning anything, they'll pray with you concerning the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, Sunday morning. We've got School of the Bible this week, I believe, right? Don't forget the offices are closed Monday. So if you have an emergency, call the emergency number. We'll see you here Sunday morning. Before you leave, tell somebody I'm redeemed and you can be dismissed. Amen.